Good morning. Welcome to the Stutzman's Home and Garden Show right here on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. I'm Dave Wilson, Jason French, of course, here as well from Stutzman's to answer your lawn and garden questions. A couple ways you can get those questions to him this morning. 869-1330. Call that number, 869-1330. You can also send your question to the KNSS Facebook page as well. Good morning, Jason.
Hey, good morning.
Tell us what's going on at Stutzman's this fine fall weekend.
Well, you know, we are well into fall and, got a great selection of mums and other fall plants in at all of the locations. Got a great special we're running on mums, a buy two, get one free of any of the different sizes. And got a lot of the late season mums that are just really coming into color, looking really great now. And, with the forecast that we have, they're going to look nice at your place for several weeks yet, it looks like.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about pumpkins. We'll get those ready, of course, for fall, and you got plenty there to choose from at Stutzman's. What are some ways we can keep our gourds looking gorgeous this fall?
And we are getting... We've been selling a lot, the whole season already, but kind of now we're seeing a little bit more movement towards some of the jack-o'-lanterns and things for Halloween carving and all. But regardless of what kind of pumpkin or gourd we're getting, there are a few things we can do to keep them looking their best the longest. One of them, it's pretty a simple one, but... using something like a Clorox wipe or one of those little sanitizing wipes, wipe down that skin of that squash with that really, really well. That removes a lot of those little fungal bodies and bacteriums and things that would have been on it from the field growing. These are grown outdoors, and part of that natural process, outdoors, is as that pumpkin develops, the seeds grow inside and ripen and everything. Well, then those little fungal bodies in the field, they break the pumpkin down, and that kind of plants the seeds then again on the ground. And so getting a lot of those off of there will really, really slow down that process. Few other things, avoid hot, direct sunlight with them. So, you kind of think of them as a fall item anyway, with liking that little bit cooler temperature. But out of that direct sunlight also will help. And if there's some of the gourds and things that are actually going to dry out and, last an extremely long time, make sure we get really good air circulation around them so they can get that hard skin that they'd like as well.
Some ways there to keep your pumpkins looking nice this fall. Tell us about the different varieties of pumpkins you have there at Stutzman's, Jason. There are several.
There's a lot of different kinds, but we kind of put them into a few categories. Obviously jack-o'-lanterns, we know the big orange one used for carving and probably synonymous with Halloween time and the great pumpkin and all of those things. But the little bit smaller ones are called pie pumpkins, and bigger maybe than a grapefruit, but somewhere in that neighborhood in size. And they're great for decorating, of course, but those have a much higher sugar content to their flesh than, say, a jack-o'-lantern does. They also have a much thicker flesh to them, so be kind of hard to carve one of those little pie pumpkins. But if you want to cook down some pumpkin, whether you're making pies and cakes and cookies, or a lot of times they're used in soups and things like that as well, especially for those dessert types, those pie pumpkins are going to be what we want, with that much sweeter flesh. Then you get into, the ones we call the funky pumpkins, and they're all different forms of winter squash. They all get that hard skin on them, and they last quite a while. But, they all have different names. A lot of them are really old varieties that, pioneer homesteading days were used by those people as a lot of them are native to North America, so even the original peoples would have been able to store and use those squash as a food source during the winter. And, some of the older ones, blue kind of warty ones are in that Hubbard family. There's quite a few different ones that, there's a big oblong pink banana one that I cooked down one of those last year, and it really was a good pie pumpkin. It was very smooth and very sweet. So a lot of different uses for them besides all the different colors, the oranges and blues and grays, and you got the Casper, the white one. There's a lemonade that's kind of a light yellow colored pumpkin. So a lot of great different varieties that some are new and some are kind of back in from long ago for our fall decorating.
If there's a certain variety of pumpkin that you need, chances are you're going to find it there at Stutzman's Greenhouse. This is the Stutzman's Home and Garden Show, our final one of the season. So your last day, last Saturday, to get your lawn and garden question in at 869-1330. You can also send it to the KNSS Facebook page. Jason, which vegetables can we still plant here in the fall?
I bet we could still, as warm as we've been and as warm as we're going to be for a little while, especially if you're willing to either have a little frost cloth to put over it, or I know some people make a little small cold frame for it. A lot of those really cold tolerant greens like spinach is one that often can be grown and harvested till well into freezing weather, so you probably could get some of that going. But a lot of our other late season things are going pretty well yet, lettuce and those greens, but cabbages I have, they're starting to head up, get their little head in there. Broccoli, I can see the broccoli flower beginning to emerge, so kind of getting into a lot of those times as well. If something a person might want to do, if they like herbs and some of those different real leafy herbs, the basils, the cilantros, things like that. A lot of those can be grown, inside in the winter and used, but the seed would come up and do very well being started outdoors right now in a container, bringing in if we were going to have a frost, but they like that little bit cooler temperature, not cold, but then the nice bright light and moisture to sprout up. So you actually could start some of those indoor projects as well if you wanted to do some of that.
All right, there you go. Some vegetables you still have time to plant here in the fall. Let's get to a Facebook question. Darren is asking today, is it okay to skip fertilizing here in the fall?
Well, I mean, that's kind of a tough question. Is it okay to, how many meals do you want to skip before it's a problem? Kind of look at it that way, but really with our lawns, especially, most people have a fescue or a bluegrass fescue lawn. We call them the cool season lawns, and they, with a little water, they're still looking pretty green and nice right now and will continue to for a while. And that's where a lot of these grasses and, just plants in general, we want to feed them during a time that they're going to be able to use that nutrient. And, a lot of our woodier plants, we do fall and early spring. That's when the roots are taking up the most. Well, grasses like that fescue, they are really taking up a lot of nutrients in the fall and in the winter, winterizer treatments. That's really when they're able to recover from some of that really hot summer we had. And then depending on where you're at, some areas had some fairly stringent water restrictions if you didn't have your own well. So a lot of those things cause stress and damage to that lawn. Well, now that we're a little bit cooler, by putting those fertilizers on in the fall and then ideally, we do two about 6 weeks apart. One's your fall treatment, one's a winterizer treatment. But that really is going to feed that grass and help rebuild that crown and thicken that grass back up from all the damage that it had, so that it's able in the spring, to be able to take off be that really thick, full lawn that that they're wanting. So, I mean, I would hate to just say, oh, skip it, it'll be fine. But on the flip side, I mean, your lawn's probably not going to die if you don't. But this is one of the prime times, you know, fall and spring are the two prime times for feeding those fescue grasses to get the most benefit out of it.
And I'm sure you guys have a great selection of fertilizers there at your Sussman's locations, right?
Yeah, and you know, and it kind of depends. Did you do any seeding or anything this year? If you did, you're probably just going to want to use a plain fertilizer. You know, it might be called winterizer. You know, it's not going to have any weed killer or weed preventer in it. If you didn't seed your lawn this fall, though, then I really would want to use a fertilizer that has a pre-emergent in it. There are some winter weeds. Little barley was a big problem we talked about in the spring. Cheatgrass. You know, there's several different ones that actually come up in the winter time. And if I use a pre-emergent just is going to stop those seeds from being able to come up. Now, if you put grass seed down, it's going to stop that seed from coming up, too. So that's why I'm saying if you didn't seed, use one with the pre-emergent. If you did put some seed down, just a good feed is really going to help that grass.
All right, Darren, thank you so much for your question. If you have a lawn or garden question, let us know today. Jason will answer it for you. You can send it like Darren did to the KNSS Facebook page, or you can call us at 869-1330. That's 869-1330. Let's stay in the yard here, Jason, and talk about some ways we know when we need to stop mowing the lawn for the year.
You know, and again, going to depend what kind of grass we have are and where you're listening to as well. I know some parts throughout central and western Kansas got to varying degrees of coldness the other day. Well, if you have Bermuda, Zoysia, Buffalo, those more warm season type grasses, as soon as we get a frost or two on them, they're going to be finished growing for the year. They go dormant. And so those we'd want to maybe lower the mower blade, maybe a single notch from where we did, you know, during the rest of the year and mow them off. You'll get a nice clean area. And those are really done. Your cool season fescue grasses, you know, depending on how much moisture we have on them and all, you may have to continue mowing a little bit, but you're going to find the frequency is really slowing down. Well, that grass likes the cooler temperature and it really greens it up and it starts thickening up. We don't have the day length or, you know, some of those really warm temperatures to encourage that rapid growth. So you just tend to get greener. You're going to mow. You might not be taking as much off. And then same with your fescues, I probably would bring my mower blade down one notch from what I did in the summertime. During summertime, we wanted it tall. It kind of shaded the ground, which helped preserve some moisture when it was so hot. Now we don't necessarily need it to be quite so tall. The other thing, if we let it get overly tall in the wintertime, if we were to have some snow cover, which I hope we do this winter, that tall grass tends to fall over and gets matted down and can kind of choke itself out, and you can get some thin spots from that. So we don't want it to be so long going into wintertime that it could be falling over. So bring it down a notch. It's still not going to be short, but, you know, keep that mowing as much as needed. And really, if you go by the guideline, it's best to, you know, maybe not mow off more than a third of the height of the grass. If you're mowing about 3 inches, you know, it's going to have to grow an inch or a little more before you mow it. That's not going to be twice a week like it was in June right now. It might be once every 3 weeks or something, depending on your lawn situation. One other thing with keeping it mowed slightly shorter like that, if we have a lot of leaf fall on the lawn, we need to get that off. Those, especially if we were to get a rain or something and have those larger leaves, they kind of mat up, and those will completely block the sun and things out of the lawn, and you can really get some thinning in some dead areas. So if that lawn's a little bit shorter mode when we're going. Those leaves tend to sit on top of it better. I like to just use a mulching blade on my mower in most cases, and I just run over that, and it chops them up pretty well, and they fall in the grass and really just help better my soil. If I have a whole lot of them, though, that's about the only time in the course of the year I put my bag on my mower, and I will mow over and catch some of those big, heavier piles, and that can go in the compost heap or, you know, it can be put on the garden for winter time to rot down, things like that. But we do want to get them off of there so we don't mat down and thin our grass out throughout the winter.
All right, good tips there with your lawn as we go through the fall. Let's look a little bit further. Since this is our last show, we won't be on the air to talk about it later on in the year, but we at some point need to start thinking about turning off our sprinkler systems. What are some tips for doing that, Jason?
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of it will depend on individual systems that people have had. You know, hopefully you're not brand new to it, but, you know, at a certain point when we start regularly having some freezing weather, I mean, those a little frost or what we had the other day, you know, isn't going to necessarily hurt anything. But when we start getting temperatures below, you know, much below freezing pretty regularly, we'll want to shut those down. Same with your hoses to your house. Once we get to that point, you know, we want to be sure to unhook the hose from the house, open the end on it. You know, ideally we curl it up and stick it in the garage or the shed or wherever, but want to be sure and leave it open and unattached. That way, if it were to freeze the water inside there, it doesn't expand and break some of your plumbing in your house. If you just leave it open and hooked up, then that freeze can go right through and cause you some internal water problems in the house. But with our sprinklers, same kind of idea. You know, I would talk to maybe a sprinkler person if you're not sure. Some systems, depending on how they're set up, you know, they need to be blown out. Other ones have low areas where you can open a valve and it drains some of that stuff out. Some of them have that little pipe that comes up out of the ground and goes back down in that kind of that water backflow pressure thing. And, you know, it can be drained and emptied there, but we don't want it to be under pressure. And then we don't want it hooked up to open water source. We want it shut off. So that way, if something breaks, you're not having a massive leak on there. But usually shutting that off, sometimes you run it once the water's off for a minute or two and kind of clear out anything that's going to drain out. And then usually you're pretty good to go.
All right. Good tips there for winterizing our sprinkler systems as we make our way here through the fall and the temps get a little bit cooler. You're listening this morning to the Sussman's Home and Garden Show. If you've got a question, this is your last Saturday to get it to us. 869-1330 is the number. 869-1330. You can also send it to the KNSS Facebook page. Let's get a Sussman's update right now with Ben Miller.
Good morning, everyone. Hi, this is Ben Miller. Thanks for listening to today's broadcast of the Stutzman's Home and Garden Show. More with Jason coming up. It's hard to believe that summer is winding down and the transition to fall begins at Stutzman's. All this week, perennial hibiscus are 50% off, perfect for fall planting. Summer hanging baskets and patio planters are also 50% off while they last. All of our stores are transitioning to fall with pansies, flowering kale, asters, and wonderful selection of mums starting at $4.99. Be sure and pick up some of our beautiful funky and traditional pumpkins along with traditional and miniature straw bales for fall decorations. Fall is fast approaching, and let us help you make the transition to the beauty of fall. Let's celebrate the upcoming fall season together at Systems Greenhouse, where we can't wait for cooler weather. We hope to see you soon at one of our 12 garden centers today and find out more at systems.com or on Facebook. Again, this is Ben Miller. Have a great day and enjoy America's number one hobby, gardening. Now back to Jason and the Home and Garden Show, brought to you by Stutzman's Greenhouse and Garden Centers.
And this is the Stutzman's Home and Garden Show. I'm Dave Wilson. Jason French is here from Stutzman's to answer your lawn and garden questions at 869-1330. Clint has sent us a Facebook question this morning. And Jason, he's asking, when is the best time to cut back perennials?
Yeah, definitely getting into that time. A little bit depends on what kind they are, but this and our time of year, we're kind of right on both sides of everything. Some of your early perennials maybe get trimmed back, divided, separated, cleaned up, whatever we needed to do. Starting sometime in September, things like iris, peony, some of those things can be started that time of year. And then now as we get into October, you can still do those. We're plenty warm. Our soil isn't going to freeze anytime soon. But some of our other things are beginning to yellow off. Some of the Asiatic lilies and things, as their tops begin to fade, that's when we can clean and cut back a lot of those things. Also, a lot of those, if they need divided, that's when we can kind of see where the stems all are to get a nice sized chunk for dividing, but they're beginning to go a little dormant on the top. The temperatures aren't so stressful, so they're able to settle in pretty nicely, but have a little time to get rooted in. So most of our perennial things, we could do a lot of that right now. A few of your real warm weather things, I usually wait until spring to do much with. More of a bush than a perennial, but like crepe myrtles, some of our butterfly bush, butterfly weed, some of those real summertime plants, a lot of times I'll wait until I see them coming up in the spring to do dividing. But most of our things, as they begin to fade and we begin to drop leaves and all, we can start cleaning up, getting our beds put in order. We've had a frost. Maybe I might wait till we have another one coming up sometime, or we've really dropped a lot of the leaves. But we'll want to fertilize all of those perennials, shrubs, and trees yet this fall. And we want to make sure they're in that process of going dormant, though, before we do. We don't want to accidentally stimulate top growth fertilizing too early. We want them to take that all up through the root system and have it either in their crown to come out next year even better, or a lot of trees will take it up into the roots and a lot of energy is stored right behind the buds on the branches. So as they come out, they have what they need. So, that's still coming up. But a lot of these things, as I'm looking at them, I'm seeing fall starting well on them, and that says they're going dormant. So probably about any time he can start cleaning that stuff and dividing that those items.
All right, Clint, thank you for your question this morning about perennials. Jason, let's go to the vegetable garden. We should probably be thinking about clearing that out right now for winter, right?
Excuse me. Yeah, we should probably, especially if that frost took out any last things you still had other than maybe the cold crop things we talked about earlier. Tomatoes are one of those things I really encourage people, if you grow tomatoes, that's one of the plants I would pull out of my garden and put, trash if I am in town or whatever, and just get rid of it. Or, if I have a burn pile somewhere outdoors, can burn it, but it's not one I want to leave in my garden or use in my compost pile. Tomatoes can have some disease problems, and if they don't fully get composted, we can put those issues back into the garden. So that's the one I like to just get rid of if you can. A lot of the others can go right into the compost pile and things, but good time to get all of those cleaned up, maybe stack up the tomato cages, get some of those things ready. I always would recommend not a big tilling, like we do in the spring and getting everything all smooth. But if you've put some of those chopped leaves in the garden, or if you have some straw you used as mulch and all, just a light tilling or a light turning with a potato fork, get a little dirt up on top of some of that stuff. That'll speed how much it can break down throughout the fall and winter, and improve that bed for springtime. Also a good time maybe to apply some sulfur to your garden. As we water with our groundwater and all, tends to make our soils and things more alkaline, and they're a little tougher to take up some of our nutrients and all. So Sulfur and gypsum are good things to add there, especially the sulfur. Very slow acting. It may take 2 or 3 months to fully be doing its job there. Well, that would be, you know, November, December, January, be just a month or two before we might be starting, before it's fully working. So that's a great thing to do in the fall when you're cleaning up as well.
All right. So with this being the last show of the year, let's talk about how long your locations are going to remain open here through the fall.
You know, it'll be a little bit longer yet. We have some beautiful looking late season mums. And, you know, we've talked about that on the show through the fall. You know, there's early season ones that already bloomed and are done, mid-season bloom that are kind of wrapping up. And then the late season ones have just been coming into their prime over the last week, and some are still on coming. So great time still to pick up some of those beautiful mums. Locations, a little bit weather dependent, but usually it's going to be closer to the end of the month when we'll wrap things up there, and you know, look forward to seeing everybody next season.
Absolutely. Jason, a lot of great information this week. Hope you have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you. You too.
And thank you for listening this morning to the Sitzman's Home and Garden Show. Thanks for listening all throughout the season. We'll be back here in the spring. Until then, stay well.